Previously on Adventure.
Henley, Thrace, and Julian, you must go to Neverwinter and solve the mystery of his death and find the murderer to discover the location of the second magical item. The dragon is going to, I guess for a lack of a better term, self-destruct.
You guys are in luck because I've been following Riley for the past 5 days. Riley is very weird behavior for a gnome. He spends most of his time at the library. I track him there every day. He spends hours there.
And you guys head to the library. You enter.
I am Librarian Shrug. How are you?
Librarian Shrug. We're looking for a bloke named Riley. He's a friend of ours, and we knew what he was reading. A good way to get a little surprise on the buggy, you know what I mean?
Looking at the alchemy book, there is one section pretty heavily dog-eared. A homunculus is a construct that acts as an extension of its creator through a mystical bond.
We gotta get to that Riley guy.
And as you're about to walk, you hear the sound of laughing. You see, looking, staring up at you on the ground, the head of Carl the Black Spider.
And I just take the head and punt it across the town.
Across the town? You think you're really that strong?
Okay. So all right,
I'm
going
to do a strength check to see how far I can punt.
Okay, go ahead.
It's a 13 plus 0.
Okay. So you punt it, it bounces off a wall and rolls into the middle of the street, probably about 30 feet away from you, but it's still talking.
Henley, that probably wasn't very useful.
Go back and get that.
I'm sorry, a disembodied head of a bastard we killed is laughing and making fun of us. We got a lot of bigger fish to fry.
To be honest, it's a little screwed up that you would have stuck on your belt in the first place.
Well, I wanted to remember the moment.
More disturbing, he's still naked.
Yes.
I have
excuse
me, friends. If you will bring me back over, I might have a clue to where you can find what you are looking for.
Henley gets hurriedly dressed. Pants on backwards. Shirt barely holding on because it's all tattered from tearing it to shreds. And we walk over and pick up the head again.
Do you like riddles?
Could you just tell us outright?
No, that wouldn't be very fun. And
then
plus,
I guess we like riddles.
There's a little revenge for having killed me.
We could kill you again.
Oh, you can. I'm sorry. I'm dead.
Julian, set the world on fire.
I could fill your mouth with concrete.
Do you want to hear this riddle?
Yes.
Yes.
Wherever you start, it's all the same. With no beginning or end, whatever the game. For a symbol of eternity, I've been used in many guises for you to muse. And then the eyes lose their light and the mouth goes slack and it's just a dead head again.
Good. So it's a Mobius strip. Thank you, Carl the Spider.
I think Julian is onto something there. The Mobius strip, the symbol.
It's the symbol. Yeah. It's three-dimensional, has one side. Doesn't begin, beginning, and no end.
But what's that got to do with anything?
We should look for that symbol, perhaps. Perhaps Riley has one.
Any ideas, Henley?
I think it's a circle. Because there is no beginning, there is no end. And there's a lot. I mean, the coin's a circle. There's a lot of symbols that are circles. But, it's the only thing that doesn't have a beginning or an end, other than
a Mobius strip.
Well, yeah.
Where do you folks want to do?
Gnome hideout.
We're going to the gnome hideout?
Yes.
All right.
Because we're running out of time before this dragon goes.
Your clock's at 50 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Gnome hideout, everyone.
With the Benny Hill music playing. Yeah. All
right.
Henley, have you thought up something good?
I got an idea.
All right.
All right, so you walk up to the gnome hideout. Stewie once again leaps up onto the roof.
Stewie, just try and take out anything that gets too close to him.
Before you get to the hideout, half a block down, Leonidas walks out of an alley.
Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
So, have you found anything interesting?
We've had some adventures. Let's leave it at that. We have some thoughts about Riley.
Any clues for me to think over?
What do you know about either a circle symbol or sort of the infinity as a sigil
does that
for
mean
something?
Anything to you?
Well, a circle could mean a lot of things, of course. Down here in the Naga, the only circle that I could really think of would be the sort of main hub of the Naga. The locals call it the circle.
Oh, that could be it. But if it is that, It means Henley was right about the riddle all along. That wouldn't be good.
I mean, it's up to you. I think we still need to find out about Raleigh being up there. We got a little time. By the way, while these gnomes still hanging out, they've got less than four to five minutes to live.
Well, because Riley is up there sick. Maybe they can't move him. Maybe they're lying about why he's up there. Let's just go and find out what we can before we lose that lead, because we all go.
We have to flee back to the center of town anyway.
All right, so you guys walk up, and Henley, you're going to bust in?
Yep.
All right, do your thing, my friend.
Hello. I'm sorry to interrupt. I know we're not welcome here.
They all draw their swords.
Yep. I've just got one quick question. It's very important to ask. Is there a Frank here? Is someone named Frank?
I'm Frank.
Sorry.
All right, so, Frank, I'm so happy you're here. In my pocket, I've got seven gold pieces that I need to give to your mom, because she really knows her way around a penis.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Frank's mom's all of our moms.
I only have the 7 quid. I'll go to the bank and get more.
Just runs out.
I gotta ask Henley and Thrace, what are you two doing?
We are hiding around the backside of the doors.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. All right. So Henley comes busting out of the gnome hideout, and for a moment it seems like the plan had failed. No one's coming out. But then, all of a sudden, a deluge of gnomes just come flying out. And in fact, they're opening windows and jumping out the window. So there's like 15 gnomes now chasing Henley down the street.
All right, Julian, you want to go get a drink?
Yeah, should be safe now.
So, Henley, what are you going to use to get away from them a little bit faster and lose them? Because you're going to have to make your way back eventually.
Yeah, I'm going to use my dash, which is... I'm using a cunning action to use the dash. So when you take the dash action, you gain extra movement for the current turn. The increase equals your speed after applying any modifiers. With a speed of 30 feet, for example, you can move up to 60 feet on your turn if you dash.
Okay.
Any increase or decrease of your speed changes this additional movement by the same amount. Okay. So if I'm reduced by 15 feet, I can move up to 30.
15 feet is like, if you're prone, you have to spend half of your action to get up. And you're already in full run. So I'm just going to give you double. It's a little different because this is not combat, but it's not necessarily turns, but you'll get double speed. So you're able to get enough of a lead on them where you have a decision where you can try to double back. So now you have to choose how you want to do that. Brian, how do you want to go around a building? What do you want to do?
I want to just run in and out of alleys on the main drag. Just kind of duck right, double back. Keep going. I mean, just kind of throwing them off. And the first turn I can make, I'm gonna make.
Okay. All right. So you're like serpentining your way down this thing, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Even though it's not exactly the same thing, why don't you roll a stealth check, Brian?
Sure. 20.
All right.
Plus 2. Bitches.
So you're able to weave back and forth and lose them in the alleys and then sneak back around them while with that 20 leading them farther than you even were by just confusing them so much by how you were running and moving. So you're headed back now towards the gnome hideout. While he's doing this, Thrace and Julian, are you going straight up into Riley?
You're
not going to wait for Henley?
No.
Okay.
Because Henley might be coming back, you know, he might well be caught again.
That's
and he
true.
Might be coming back training 15. We don't want to waste a minute. We're going to go straight in and straight up to Riley's room.
As we walk in, this bar is completely empty.
Completely empty.
Yep.
Completely
empty. Yeah. We got rid of them all. Yes. Yeah.
Let's say there's one gnome behind the bar, like cleaning a glass, and he just kind of like
pretends he doesn't see
us. Yeah, just whistles and
there
then go, and goes behind and just like goes in the back room and like you hear the door like click.
All right, straight up.
One thing I want to do though, I have an alarm spell.
Okay, good one.
So just in case somebody's
all okay. Right, I like it.
So that's good for 30 feet.
Okay,
and choose a door, window, or area within range that is larger than a 20-foot cube. Until the spell ends, an alarm alerts you whenever A tiny or larger creature touches or enters the guarded area.
So you're going to guard like the front area of the bar, like where you guys came in? Cool. Yeah. All right. So there you go.
So even when Hendley comes in, we'll...
Yes, at least we'll know.
You'll get a warning. So you walk upstairs, and there's a couple of rooms, but the doors are all open. There's only one room with the door closed. It's at the end of the hall.
I think that's our target.
Yes. And we're not knocking, we're going in.
All right, so you go to turn the knob, and it's locked.
Damn it.
Smash.
Yes.
Brute force.
Can I just hit it?
Mm-hmm. You can try to break it down to do a strength check.
I can break it down. Well, I'll do a strength check, but I also have that... can I use that bracer of badassness?
Well, you're wearing it, I think.
Yeah.
You have it on all the time.
But it gives me a +3 to an unarmed strike.
Yeah, sure, there you go.
So I can add that if I'm trying to break the door down.
Go ahead.
I'm rolling like Henley today. One.
I've been very lucky today.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, a one doesn't do it.
No, it really doesn't. I take a running jump at this door and get denied. God damn it. Julian, your turn.
Shh. Well, I could just try to open it.
Well, it's locked, though.
You never know. I'm smart. Maybe I can do something with...
Try Alohomora.
Yeah.
You can just try to kick it down. It's just a door. Literally, if she had rolled, a 5 or better, it would have come down.
We're kicking. One.
Seriously?
No, seven.
Okay.
Seven.
So the 7, it took a couple kicks, but you kicked the door open.
Sorry about that, Julian.
Ow, my foot hurts.
And what's in front of you is a simple room with basically nothing in it except for a sack against the wall and a bed. And laying on that bed, eyes closed, sweat pouring off his face, is Riley. He is a gnome with a big red beard and long red hair, and his eyes are closed in deep concentration, it looks like. And standing over him, slowly approaching him, is this tall, scaly, clawed monster. And it's walking towards him.
It's the monster! And didn't this say, what was it said, that you had to concentrate really hard to conjure one of those... Mm-hmm. Homunculus things.
He must be in a trance.
Yes.
While you're talking, alarm goes off, because Henley's back.
Henley!
But when the alarm goes off, the homunculus looks.
Oh, no.
Its eyes are reptilian-like. They're like slits. But there's an intelligence in the eyes.
Let's not attack this thing straight away.
And they narrow at you, and it hisses, but it doesn't move.
Hello! I'm Thrace. Who are you?
It just keeps staring at you.
Hello? Do you speak English?
Where you fuckers at?
Hendley, we're upstairs, here. And we may have a small problem. As in, the killing thing is here, and it's looking at me.
I thought you were making a joke about my pain, but alright, I'll be right up.
It's looking at me, Hendley.
So Hendley comes up and kind of bundles into this doorway with the two of you and sees the creature standing there.
Hendley, it's still looking at me. What do I do?
I wouldn't move if I were you. But if I were you, I would move, because then that would mean that I don't have to move.
Hendley, you're not helping.
I know.
Can we try and, wake up Riley? Because if he's conjured this thing, if we can wake him up...
Hello, handsome!
I could set him on fire. That would wake him up.
Can I poke him with my dragon glaive?
Sure, yeah.
I'm going to give him a quick little poke in the ribs, just enough to draw some blood, but not enough to kill him.
This does not sound good.
Well, it's got a 10-foot reach. I can reach across the room and just go, poke!
Okay.
And
So you're literally touching him with a 10-foot pole.
So I'm just going to give him a good old poke. I have to roll though, right?
No, you're not attacking him. You're not attacking him. So you go to poke him with this the dragon glaive.
The soft cushion.
And you poke him, and he stirs, and for a moment the creature stumbles. But then the creature stands back up strong as Riley goes back.
Shake him really hard.
Like a Polaroid picture.
Pull his hair. Pull his long ginger beard.
I'm going to take his shoulder and shake him.
There's a dragon about to go boom.
As you walk up towards him, the creature moves its body to block you from getting close to him.
Oh, see?
I'm walking over to Riley's face and going to fart in it.
He needs to make a dexterity saving roll, right?
You gotta make a dexterity saver to get around the creature.
Yep. Yes. All right.
All right, go ahead. Make a roll. Oh, but I'm giving you advantage because I like it's...
15.
For inspiration. 15, you can roll again if you want. I give you advantage.
All right, yep.
You have advantage
because... 19!
All right.
Yeah. You have advantage because there's no way anyone would guess that you would fart in his face.
Yeah. So with the 19, Brian, why don't you explain to me how you get around the creature?
I ask Thrace to Alan Grant her Warhammer and just wave it in a way that, like, gets the creature's eye.
Like
the flares in Jurassic Park.
And the creature looks over because it's a bright light.
Hello,
and I just kind
of
slip on by. I walk right over to Riley. Actually drop trowel because my belt is left in the street. I forgot to grab it. And let one loose. Justin, have at it.
So you rip a big fart in Riley's face, and he wakes straight up. And the moment he wakes up, the homunculus turns to ash.
Nice.
Oh,
yeah. We are turning everything to ash today.
Was it because he woke up, or was it from the flatulence?
It's from both, a mix of both. But as soon as Riley wakes up, Henley, you feel yourself pushed back with a giant magical force, and you slam against the wall on the side of the room. And Riley bolts up and looks.
So he didn't actually have a chance to put his pants back on.
No, he's totally no. Pants are around his ankle still.
Riley, you got some explaining to do.
I don't have to explain anything to you guys. Who are you? Why are you coming into my chambers and waking me up?
Who are you? And what have you been up to that you've got this thing running around town killing people?
Well, you got me.
Yeah, we got you. And if you don't want to smell another one of that, then you better start talking.
He had lots for lunch. He had lots of roughage.
And a lot of jerky.
Stop talking about him.
I ate that jerky like 8 weeks ago.
That's how long it takes for red meat to get through your system.
And we still smell it, so please.
Wait, are you... I know, the boss told me about you three.
The boss.
You say his name.
You're another flunky.
You mean Henrique?
Yes.
I want to make sure we're talking about the same boss. It could be a coincidence, you never know.
Some people call him Mr. Toodles.
Oh, Henrique.
So, what are you going to do about it, huh?
How about I just smack you in the face with my Warhammer? Not that that's been very successful today, I've got to be fair.
So I think you're due.
I think I'm due a good smack in the face.
Speaking of due, we read your books in the library. And they're overdue, even though you never took them out. Never mind.
I'm not gonna tell you anything.
All right, make him. Julian, make him tell us something.
Hold his nose!
I've got his nose.
Before you can grab him, he takes something out of his pocket and throws it down. It's a flashbang. And you can't see anything for a few moments. And when it clears, he's gone. And then the window is open.
It would have been funnier if he wasn't gone.
That would have been funny.
That usually works.
Thrace, call for Stewie.
Stewie!
Guys!
In my little intercom. Boop, boop. Stewie, come in, Stewie!
Guys, I just saw Riley. He just jumped up out of the roof. Out of the window. He's on the roof.
Chase him. Chase him
down. We're coming.
He's not running.
Tell him to shoot him with a red bullet.
Shoot him with the red bullet? But that'll kill him. We need to talk to this guy.
No. In the ass. In the ass of the leg.
Right.
Or an arm. Maybe low chest.
You know what? Look. You know what's happened every time we've tried to incapacitate anyone today? Is that a good idea?
You got a very good point.
Stewie, what's he doing?
He's just standing there.
We can't see the roof from where we are.
No, you
can't.
Not
even looking up the...
No. You'd have to climb up.
Right. Okay.
He's just standing. He's got his eyes closed.
No. Get out there. Someone get out there and stop him before he gets that thing back again.
All right, so I jump out the window and I climb up to the roof.
You just got to make sure he can't get into that trance. Run up that ladder, poke him where I poked him before, because it probably really hurts.
I'm climbing up to the roof, and how far away is he?
When you get up to the roof, I mean, the roof isn't very big. He's probably 15 feet away from you. But as soon as you reach the roof, you get blown back onto your back by a wave of thunder.
How is he doing this?
And is he still standing?
He's still standing. his eyes close, and there's things beginning to materialize.
Oh, this is
in
not
front of
good,
him.
Guys.
Well, you don't even know what's going on. You can't see it. You're still in the room.
I can hear the rumbling.
You gotta get your asses
all right,
up there.
Yeah, come on. Me and Julian are gonna follow out onto the roof because we need to stop this happening.
I'd like to throw a dagger into his knee to just stop whatever's happening from happening.
Oh, yeah. I think we need to full-on attack because this is going to get worse before it gets better otherwise.
Henley, if you want to throw a dagger, roll your attack die.
Attack die is rolled, and it's a 10 plus 4.
That ain't going to do it. It bounces off his knee. Julian and Thrace are up on the roof. Two homunculi have been...
I knew this would happen.
Manifested with Riley behind them. And yeah, we are into a battle here. We need to roll for initiative.
18.
11.
6.
First in the order is Thrace.
All right, I'm going right at Riley.
Okay.
Because I figure we got to take Riley out, because if we take Riley out, we haven't got to worry about those two homunculi on either
side.
I'm
sorry. Take him out. We need him alive. Don't throw anything at him. What are you doing? I mean...
Yeah, well, the time for that is past. Do you want to get splatted by these things? We need to at least do some damage so he can't keep raising these things. So I'm going to smack him with my Warhammer because it already has the Inferno Bomb attached to it. Our main whole point of this is just to get him to stop raising the homunculi.
Go ahead, roll.
17.
All right. 17 plus your attack bonus, which I think is like a 4 or something.
Plus 5.
Okay. Yeah. So that will hit, but as you make your way up to run at him, the homunculus like form a wall in front of him, so you're going to have to hit the homunculi before you try to hit him. All right.
I'll do that then.
Okay. So take a swing at either one on the right or the left.
Okay, right.
Okay.
6.
Six. All right. Take a swing at these homunculi and the one on the right, and you hit him, and you hit him pretty good. It feels weird and squishy to your touch. Oh, but it's also on fire, so roll 1d4 well.
4.
Oh. So that's 10.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, Thrace.
So that does a lot of damage. It looks bruised and bloodied and
sweet.
Worse for wear. And now we're on to Henley.
How close are these creatures at this point?
I mean, the roof isn't very big, so you're talking, you're like on a wooden roof that is probably, I don't know, 20 feet long by 20 feet or something like that. It's a very small area. And the two homunculi are standing almost next to each other right now because they blocked Thrace from trying to hit Riley. And then... Riley is behind.
I'm doing the blade quarterstaff again. I'm taking the one on the left I'm going for. So here we go. I rolled an 11. Plus the attack bonus is 4.
That hits.
All right. That's the 1d6 plus the dagger. Ugh. A 1. And then my 2d4 plus 2. 2. 2. So it's a 4 plus 2 is 6, so 7 total.
So your swing takes out the homunculi on the left and finishes him off.
I'm doing another kind of uppercutty, like sweep the leg motion, and I guess I slice it off, and that's the end.
When you slice it off, you know when like Buffy slays a vampire, and it like goes out and it just like does that ash, that cool ash, it makes that same sound. Yep. It's that same thing. It just. Ash on the ground once it's taken out.
It's like we're in North Carolina.
I don't know what that is.
Because it's Asheville.
Oh, God.
What?
It's getting worse and worse.
It won't get any better, I can promise you that for sure. Hey everybody, your Dungeon Master, Bobby Shortle here. First of all, so sorry for the late show, but as you will hear, this is a pretty intense auditory experience. Our sound guy, Justin Riley, did an amazing, amazing job, and it's well worth the wait, I guarantee you. And I think we do a pretty good job with the story as well. Thank you guys so much for listening and for all your feedback, and for all the new listeners who have started listening as well. We've gotten a lot of awesome new feedback, and that's been totally great. Please follow us on Twitter at DNDAdventure, and you can email us adventure@talkingcomicbooks.com. And if you can, please, most important thing, leave us a review on iTunes. It helps so much with rankings, with getting new people to listen to the show, and keep growing and growing. We're hitting the end pretty close to this next arc, to the Game is Afoot arc, and it's a doozy. I'm really excited for you all to hear the finale. We might be a little bit late again, depends on, you know, how everything goes. It's also a very intense episode as far as effects and sound go, and I don't, which is totally on me, but I think it'll be worth it, even if it is a little bit of a wait for it. I'm very excited for you to hear it. Justin, who has done amazing, amazing work, uses battlebards.com and tabletopaudio.com for a lot of the effects that he does. Go check those out. They're great for your own personal games, or if you do something like this, really, they're awesome. So make sure you check them out. I know we had a few listeners starting their own podcasts, and they're great resources to use. Yeah, so that is going to, I think, get me out of here for this section. Again, big, huge thank you to all of you. It's just amazing, the response. The show has grown. Great. Tell a friend. Tell everyone. We're getting really close to the end of this campaign. And we've got cool plans for the future, but I'm really excited about the next arc. I think it's going to be our best yet, hopefully. Maybe I'm setting up too high expectations. And then we've got the big finale after that. And the episode you're going to hear in our interlude, I think, are really going to lead into what those are, and it can get you really excited for those. Really excited for you to hear it. Big thanks to all of my players, because they've done an awesome job. And as you'll hear in the next episode, man, do they step up even above their usual game. So I can't wait for you to hear it. But until then, enjoy a little bit more of The Game is Afoot. Riley is up, so the homunculi are up. And since you're standing right there, Henley, they're going to go for you. Let's see. They're going to try to bite you. So that's not going to do it. They rolled a critical miss on that one, so they miss. They just snap at you, and nothing happens. And Julian, you're up.
They're still really close to each other.
Well, I've been very lucky this entire time.
You have. There's only one left right now.
Oh. Oh, so we'll just... Just one, but he's still looking pretty good.
Yeah, he's full health.
Okay. Cloud of daggers. I just want this over with. So, you fill the air with spinning daggers in a cube 5 feet on each side. Actually, you know what? I'm going to try something different.
Okay.
I've done that before.
Okay.
So how about the old bladed boomerang?
Oh, yes.
Boomerang with serrated edge that can be thrown makes a ranged attack. If hit is successful, does 2d6 damage. Target must make a DC 12 dexterity saving throw or will take an additional damage,
1d6,
on the next turn
when it comes back. Okay.
Julian.
You gotta roll a d20 and add your dexterity modifier to it.
17.
Oh, that hits. Don't worry, that hits. Okay. You're good. Your hits.
Are you gonna throw that thing?
I'm throwing that thing.
Up over? Or down under?
Oh, down under,
oh,
of course.
My God. It's too much. It's too much.
Now that's a knife.
Was it 2d6? What was it?
2d6.
Okay, go.
2.
And 6.
And 6, that's 8. Nice. 8 on the first, and let's see if it's going to come back and hit him. 14. I saved on the dexterity, so it's not going to hit me coming back, but it will come back to you.
Okay. I get to use it again
later. On the next turn. Dewey is up.
Go get him, little fella.
No, he did not hit. He got a 4. That was a big miss. So nothing for Stewie. We're back around to Thrace.
All right. So what's left? Just him, right?
No, there's one.
But can I get
one
to
homunculus.
Him?
One wounded homunculus.
But I want to get to Riley.
You can try.
You gotta take the homunculus out.
You can try again, but
So how would I try to get around the homunculus?
Use your speed. Just describe to me how you'd get to Riley.
All right, I am going to use my warhammer again, just like good old fashioned smacking. But first of all, I am going to faint left and then run right. And I'm going to go, woo, faint left, run right, and try and go around and like smack Riley around the back of this homunculus.
Okay, crazy legs, okay, do it.
So this is going to be a two-part thing then. You're going to have to make a dexterity
fainting throw.
Saving throw.
To see if it'll work.
See if you can get around. The faint works, and then you'll have to roll to see if you hit. Afterwards.
I thought of you as more as a fullback than a halfback, but that's...
What's your dex modifier?
2 plus 2.
18. 18. Well, that gets you around the homunculus, for okay. sure.
She's so
you,
very light on her
yeah,
feet.
Yeah, probably have just...
Uh-huh, right?
Barry Sanders out there. Yeah. And then you have to roll to see if you hit.
19.
That's a hit.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So now...
Is that good enough, Bobby?
That is good enough, yeah, for sure.
All right.
There's very few times that's not going to be good enough. Because especially with whatever her attack bonus was, sure. It was probably like a 24.
Yeah, my attack bonus is, yeah, exactly. I was plus 5.
Yeah.
All right, so 1d8 plus 4.
What are you attacking with here?
My Warhammer.
Okay. Your Flaming Warhammer.
5 is 9.
Plus a d4.
A d4. Oh, 10.
All right. So describe to me this hit on Riley.
Well, he was looking that way too. Because I was like, woo, over this way. So when I went round the other way, he wasn't expecting it. So I smack him right square in the back of the head.
In the back of the head?
Back of the head.
That
because
hurts.
He's looking the other way. Exactly. So I smack him right in the back of the head. And hopefully it's enough to get him out of this stupid freaking trance.
It is.
It puts him into a concussive state.
Did you kill him? Did she kill him?
No, she didn't kill him. Knocks him in the back of the head and the... Homunculi disappears.
Yes.
Nicely.
Just as Julian's boomerang comes flying back into his hand.
All right. You know, the very next thing I'd like to do is make sure he's got no more of those flashbang things on his person.
Well, your turn's over right now. You used your movement and your action, so your turn is over.
Damn it.
And we are around to Henley.
I'm just going to take my dagger out and grab him by... his shirt and shove the dagger below his neck and tell him that he needs to tell us, well, I can talk about that in a second, but like, what we need to, do I need to roll
yes.
for that?
To end the battle?
20, critical, boom.
Yeah, yeah he really, normally rolls like shit.
It does.
All
right, so you managed to grab him. So you can say what you want to say at this point. The battle's not over, but you, for this turn, you have him subdued.
Riley, right?
That's my name.
Listen, you little fucker. If you ever do that to us again with your little trancy, little magic potion-y things that you made, we will actually murder you. And then we'll murder your family. Well, I don't know where your family lives, but we'll definitely do the first part.
Very persuasive. Now,
good job, Henry.
Tell us what you did to that poor man.
I think you know what happened.
Where is that thing that you took off of him?
I'm not going to tell you that. And it wouldn't even matter if I did, because you're not going to be able to get it.
And I just take my dagger and stick it in his shoulder blade.
Squish.
I'll roll for that.
Yeah.
20 again!
Oh my god, I love when he gets all excited.
I got to see it. I got to roll a dexterity against that. Let's see what I can do. 18. Nice. Okay. All right, so you stick it into his shoulder.
I'm sorry. What was that?
That really hurts, but...
I'm literally twisting the blade.
Why won't you tell us? You want this to
keep
going?
Even if I told you, you can't get it out. It's in the safest place in the whole town.
Hold on. I'm taking my other dagger and sticking it in his other shoulder.
The other shoulder.
Okay, roll.
15.
Can you make him dance?
19. I dodged that one.
Okay.
You said even if we told you we couldn't get it, well, then what's the harm?
Tell us.
Why don't you just tell us, and we'll leave you alone.
And another 45 degree turn from Henley.
Henley, should I hold his nose?
It's in the same... It's in the safest...
What's the safest place in town?
It's the last place anyone would ever think to look.
It's always...
It's in the dragon.
Oh, cross on a bike. Here, Thrace, take the serum of truth and pour it down this maggot's gullet.
Right, I'm gonna. Do I have to roll to grab him? All right, I'm gonna try and grab him and hold his nose. Two. Oh man, I am
one.
Yes.
Wait, what?
I rolled a two. Bobby rolled a one.
Yeah, in the strength contest.
All right, so
I heard one and yes. I'm like, no, that is not what I want to hear.
All right, I've got his nose.
Okay, it's done.
Okay.
Get him to tell us where it is.
Thrace, I'll let you ask the question.
No, you're only doing that, so it's my fault if something goes wrong.
Where is the safest place in town, Riley?
I'll tell you.
Well, you have to. We just
would you like a warhammer up your tuchus?
It's in the dragon!
I said that!
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It's in the fucking dragon!
How'd you do
dragon?
That? Would you wrap it in peanut butter? Come on!
I don't feel any more reason to answer any of your questions.
Just for the sake of it, how the hell did you get it inside the dragon?
Suppository.
Yeah, right? Which end?
My little secret.
Oh, man.
This is not very strategic at all, but I want to take my dagger out and shove it in his eye and kill him. And I'm rolling for it. And I got a 14.
The moment you... because that doesn't work like that. You can't just kill him. That's not how Dungeons & Dragons works.
You're going to try and just kill him.
Yeah, you can shove a dagger in his eye if you want. So you want to roll, I guess it's an attack then, if you're trying to shoot him in the eye.
I mean, he deserves it.
Actually, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't.
No.
Because you already did your action for your turn.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. That's
so,
true.
So you just have to sit and stew over there.
But now, hold on. Back in game. I will kill you right now if I was allowed to.
You're not.
Actually, no. We got to resolve this because it's not going to work. We got to get out of this stalemate because you holding him is not going to do anything. So,
mm-hmm.
Good.
Sure.
Roll an attack.
Sure.
Brian.
15.
15. Does not hit.
Okay.
So, when you go to grab him, when you take the knife out, he pushes off of you and turns around, and now he's facing you again. We're back into battle, and it's actually Riley's turn at this point. He puts his hand up in the air, he casts something, and you guys hear the whip of bows. And when you look up, you see what looks like about 50 arrows about gonna plummet towards you.
Uh-oh.
So you all need to make dexterity saving throws to get out of the way. If that's what you want to do.
Yeah, 20.
All right.
Lost, so now I can roll.
I have no other choice.
Roll
really,
a d20.
Right?
No, you can't do anything else.
Ha ha! Another 20!
16.
I should be
16.
Doing all
of
these.
We're recording all of them, so it's okay. So you all dash out of the way very quickly, and the arrows come plummeting down towards the roof, but just before they hit the roof, they disappear, and Riley runs to the other end of the roof about 20 feet away from you guys and is laughing.
That little shit.
Just a little illusion, guys.
Oh, that little shit.
All right, and we are to Julian. Yes, Julian.
How far away is he at this point?
20 feet.
20 feet. Guys, you want to take this joker out? Is that where we're at now?
I'll very much do.
We at least need to stop him from running around and making us look like idiots.
Thunderwave.
Sounds like a terrible wrestler.
I'm just going to hold on to the roof tiles at this point.
Yeah, you better.
Thunderous Force. Okay, on a failed save, a creature takes 2d8 damage and is pushed 10 feet from you. On a successful, it takes half and no push.
Okay, so what saving throw?
How far away is he from the edge of the roof?
He's right on the edge.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, yes.
What kind of save did it say, Bob?
Constitution saving throw.
Okay. I just need to get up his character sheet here, so I know his constitution modifier is.
I mean, why burn him when I can knock him on off the roof?
Exactly. That'll do the trick.
Alrighty.
It adds to the fun.
Uh-huh. I hope they're not like cats and land on their feet.
No, I think it'll be a nice splat when he hits the ground that can be added to the sound effect.
15 to save, so he's not going to get knocked back. But you still take damage, right?
Yep. 2d8, so it's... You take half of that.
Okay,
so
2d8, roll it up.
I got to find an 8. That looks like an 8.
8.
Not 8.
And
3. 11, so 6. Alright, so you throw out that thunder wave, and he's able to withstand that fly back, but he does take some damage. But he's still looking pretty healthy over there for a somebody who has a gash in his shoulder, and been fighting you guys for a while. So next in the order is Stewie. And Stewie's gonna try to take a shot right at his head. He does not hit, so gets a 3.
Make sure you use the red bullet.
Thrice, I'm sorry I missed again.
Oh, Stewie.
I'm sorry, I'm new at this. This is my sister's gear.
That's all right, Stewie. You keep trying.
All right,
thank What's
you.
Her name?
I think it's one of those Nerf bullets.
What's her name? You want to know Stewie's sister's name?
I mean, it came up.
Stuella.
Yeah, I was going to
say. Stewina.
All right, next in the order is Thrace.
Now, can I choose not to attack and instead try and lasso him with my perfect knot rope?
Oh, yeah, the rope.
Whoa.
Yes. Then I could, like, pin his arms next to him. And we can, like, you know, then we can, like, maybe throw him over our shoulders and take him with us to the dragon.
You could definitely try.
All right, so that's what I'm going to try and do.
All right, so you're going to try to lasso him with the rope.
Yeah, it's a rope that never comes untied.
Let's see.
It's 20 feet long.
Yeah. Okay, I'm trying to figure out what you need to roll and then what I need to roll.
Right.
So I think this is interesting. So it's either gonna be athletics. Ha! Securely restrain a prisoner.
Yes, that's
so
one.
So it's gonna be a dexterity.
So roll the d20 and then I have a +2 on my dexterity. So whatever I get +2, right?
Yes.
Oh, God, 4. Why are my rolls so bad?
Jackie!
I know.
19. Just a little bob and weave by Riley.
So that
just a bit outside.
You're no Wonder Woman, that's for sure. Thrace gets her lassoing up above her head, pumping over her head, throws it out, says, yeehaw, and it just misses.
It just falls to the floor, hooks onto the side of a roof panel, and pulls that back towards me.
All
sorry,
right.
Guys.
That was a good valiant effort.
Henley, back to you.
I'm going to take both daggers and aim for his eyes.
Roll for an attack, my friend.
18.
God, I'm on fire.
That's a hit.
All right. So it's a 2d4 +2. Mm-hmm. So it would be a 1, a 2, so 5 total.
5 total. All right. So that hits. He looks bloody. But still pretty strong. And I think it's up to Riley again. All right, what should Riley do? I've got some interesting stuff that I can do here. Okay, I think that Riley is going to... I'm going to try to think what... You guys are all sort of like at the other end of the roof at this point because you all dodged away. All right, so Riley is going to cast Thunderwave. At you folks.
Uh-oh.
Nice.
So you have to make constitution saving throws.
10.
10. Plus your constitution modifier.
That's 2. 12.
Oh.
It's a 6 over there.
Kyle just came home. 2 + 2, 4.
All right, so what was
12.
Yours?
12.
Yours was 12. Yours was 6. Okay.
4.
All right, so none of you saved on that one.
Shit.
2d8 damage coming your way. You each take 9 points of damage. And you get pushed back 10 feet, which means you're going off of this roof. All 3 of you are going off this roof.
Well, that's not good. Do we take any damage for the fall?
Yeah, of course you take damage for the fall.
I'm a dragon. I could flap my little stubby wings.
Shut up.
You won't take very much, though. You're going to take 1d4 fall damage. 3. So that's... What was that?
Oh,
12
God.
Points of damage, I think.
Hey, for those playing the home game, I have 9 hit points left. How are you guys doing?
14.
28.
Yeah, Jackie's fine. A truck could run over Jackie and she'd be fine.
Yeah.
She could even take a thunder wave.
Stewie needs to be shooting them green arrows out.
Yep. At this point, Riley is up on the roof, and you guys are down on the ground. He walks to the edge of the roof and looks down at you and just...
Guys.
That's for the second knife twist, Henley.
Guys.
It's Bob's turn.
He's within earshot, right?
Yeah, he's definitely within earshot.
All right, so he's up on a rooftop.
You guys probably fell about 30 feet, I'd say.
Right, he's up on a rooftop.
Well,
we're down on the street.
I've got something for this.
Yeah, Because we don't have to keep fighting him. We can just run off and go see that dragon. We can leave him up there.
I'd rather knock him off the roof, and then we'll go get the dragon.
All right. See if you can. If you can't knock him off the roof, I say we leg it.
He is right at the edge of the roof, laughing down at us. But I'm going to open up the jar of insults, which, when open, creates a whirlwind of insults that knocks the target down for one complete turn.
So you open the jar of insults, and there was no save or anything on that,
no.
Right? No. Okay, good. All right, so you open the jar of insults, and this kind of wave comes up, and it floats.
You ginger beer piece of crap. Come right off that roof now. I'm sick.
And then, but then before it goes in, it looks at you, Julian, and says, "Hulalu, you are Moses." And then he goes up and flies and knocks Riley straight down and out of your view, because it knocks him back onto the roof. Didn't really stipulate what that kind of thing. And then it flies back into the jar.
He got knocked back. If we leg it right now, by the time he gets up and looks over the side, we'll be gone.
That's true. You guys have 5 minutes.
Exactly. Let's go. Quick.
5 minutes.
Right. Run. And Henley, you still have the device that can transport us away, right?
I'll take out the phone and I type in dragon.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Do it.
I'm not sure this is going to work, but it's worth a try. Hold on to me, nuts.
Dragon. What's
the zip code? Or just me. Yeah.
What's
just
the zip code for dragon? Do it.
Bleep, bleep, blop. Bloop, bleep.
Nothing happens.
Shit. All right.
Nothing happens. Dragon is not an acceptable stop on this cell phone flu network.
Oh, I've never heard this idiom before, but we better leg it.
Yeah. Okay. I think we should. Let's run to the dragon, because when it gets down to time, you can just die.
Shut up and run.
Okay. Run. Run, run, run.
So.
We're running at the dragon right now.
You're running towards... you guys don't even know where the dragon is.
Oh, shit. Where are we going, guys?
We're the ticking. Oh. We hear the ticking. We're following the
guys.
Ticking.
Hey, guys, what are you doing?
Stewie!
Why are you running away?
Stewie, where's we need to find dragon? That dragon. Where's the dragon, Stewie?
The dragon?
Yes.
Why you want to go to the dragon?
Because what we need is in the dragon.
We don't have time to explain.
Now. I don't know what's happening. Because what we need is in the dragon.
Okay, well, the dragon's in the circle.
Run! Stewie, come with us!
Alright, so you guys go running towards the circle.
Use your phone, circle!
You're good that you were close. I mean, the Naga's not that big. So you reach it in about a minute of pure running. And when you pull up, there's buildings all surrounding the circle, and it looks almost built up. And then once you cross through the buildings, the other half is completely leveled. And there is just this giant red beast laying
shit.
On eyes closed, no breathing.
How are we going to stop this thing going ba-boom in the next 2 minutes?
And you hear a whoosh, and above your head, flying over your head and landing right in front of you, is Riley the gnome.
Shit.
And now he is wearing a cloak, and this cloak is odd looking. It looks scaly in itself, and it looks like Riley has almost become almost half dragon himself. He's got wings. His face is kind of peeled into a snout.
But he's still only 3 foot tall.
He's still only 3 foot tall.
Okay.
but he lands right in front of you, and he says, what are you doing? He puts his hand up into the air, and this purple light starts to form in his hand. And it grows and it grows. And he sticks it straight up into the air and he tosses it towards the dragon. And it goes into the dragon's nose. And then for a moment, there's nothing. Everything is all quiet. And then you start to feel the ground begin to rumble and you see steam starting to come from the dragon's nose. And its eyes fly open.
Oh.
And they're filled with the same purple light that was in Riley's hand. It outstretches its wings, pulls itself up, roars. And Riley looks at you and says, "It's time for round two."